I stand here and think about what he has done. I start counting my blessings one by one. I sure don't deserve all that he's done for me, but I'll praise him forever through eternity. I am amazed that he'd take the time to give me such blessings that fill up my life. God is so good, I cannot express how thankful I am. I am so blessed. He's given me breath and he's given me life. He saved my lost soul from torment and strife. He died on the cross just to show me his love. He's building a home up in heaven above. And I am amazed that he'd take the time to give me such blessings that fill up my life. God is so good, I cannot express how thankful I am. I am so blessed. Often I stumble as I journey this way, but his mercies are new every day. His grace is sufficient for every trial. He amazes me more and more every mile. I am amazed that he'd take the time to give me such blessings that fill up my life. God is so good, I cannot express how thankful I am. I am so blessed. He's given his word in his precious old book, and it speaks to my heart every time I look. He loves me and helps me when I'm tempted to sin. Through Christ my Lord, over Satan I win. And I am amazed that he'd take the time to give me such blessings that fill up my life. God is so good, I cannot express how thankful I am. I am so blessed. And I am amazed that he'd take the time to give me such blessings to fill up my life. God is so good, I cannot express how thankful I am. I am so blessed.
Amen. That's wonderful, encouraging to me. I am so blessed as well. I'll join right in there with you, Brother Dave. I won't sing with you, though. 2 Timothy chapter 2, or chapter 1, let's begin in verse 5. The Bible says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Paul tells Timothy, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." I had you to mark this morning in verse number 5. This is the first method that I'm introducing that God gives us in his word for us to be stirred up. I hate being deadheaded, don't you? This just seems like sometimes, you know, in life you just like in a trance or just in a state of mind where there's a staleness or there's a deadness. Boy, I despise that, don't you? Sometimes it's just so hard to overcome that. It's as if the walls where you pray are made of brass, and it's as almost as if when you try to speak with the Lord, you have to, when you cry out to God, it's almost as if it slaps you right back. Have you been there? Is it just me? Oh, such a difficult time sometimes to be stirred up for the Lord. In this life, it seems as if there are so many obstacles, so many things that defeat us. The flesh is so hard. It seems like the spirit is always willing, but in my case, the spirit is not as strong as the flesh. The flesh prevails many times, but I do remember and I do recall and I am encouraged by the fact that greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. I know that we can have victory because our Savior gave it to us. We just have to be obedient and walk in it. Paul gives this great method of being stirred up. I've mentioned to you that this phrase or these two words, stirred up, are fire words. And they have to deal with the idea or the thought of tending a fire. And God has given us the responsibility of making sure the fire continues to burn. Every detail of the Old Testament tabernacle is so important. I mentioned that God gave the lamp or the light inside the tabernacle, and a picture of many things. One of those things is our fellowship with Jesus Christ. Sometimes those candles don't burn as bright as what God intends for them to burn. And God gave special tools and devices so that they would burn as bright as possible for Him. Dear friend, let me ask you about your fire tonight. How is it? When we think about this first method of stirring up the fire that God sent from heaven inside of our hearts, it's by the way of remembrance. And I hope that you have that marked down. I hope that this morning as we went back and looked at all the memories of Timothy and my own personal memories, I hope that you're stirred by the past and how God has worked in your life. I want you to look again at this verse, and what my plan is this evening is just to go phrase by phrase through verse number 6 and see what God has for us. The first one is this. It's very simple. The Bible says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. And then in verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us. Father in heaven, Lord, we're needing your help to be stirred. Lord, this church needs your help to be stirred. Lord, this preacher needs your help to be stirred. Lord, I know that every individual needs your help and your blessing to be stirred. God, I pray that you won't leave us where we're at. Oh, dear Lord, I pray, God, that you will not leave us where we're at. Father, I pray that we would burn brighter for the cause of Christ. Father, I pray that we would burn more fervently for the cause of Christ. Lord, may we live a heated Christian life for your honor, for your glory. Oh, Lord, please stir us up. I pray, God, that you revive the fire, revive the flames that you've placed inside of each of us. Lord, help us to live in a heated way for thee. I ask it all now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I'm going to give you a total of 5 points. I've given you the first one already. Number one, I hope that you've wrote this down, that God tells us to be stirred by remembrance. That was the message this morning. God tells us to be stirred by remembrance. I'm going to give you the second one tonight. And I want you to see that there's a principle here. He says in verse 6, Paul tells Timothy, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. So my second point is this. God tells us that it is our responsibility to be stirred up. Paul never told Timothy, watch this, you'll miss the whole entire thing if you miss this. Paul never told Timothy to pray to God and ask God to stir him up. Paul never told Timothy to ask his pastor to stir him up. Paul never told Timothy to ask his wife to stir him up. Paul never told Timothy to ask his church to stir him up. Do you see the point? Paul told Timothy that it was his responsibility, and I want you to see tonight that God teaches us very clearly in this scripture that it is our responsibility to be stirred up. Being stirred up is not the responsibility of your family. Being stirred up is not the responsibility of the church. Being stirred up is a personal responsibility. I hope that you've got this thought. We have all been called. We all have a calling on our life by God Himself to be stirred up. God has called us to be stirred up for the cause of Christ, for the work of God. God's desire and God's plan is that we be stirred up, and it's our personal responsibility to do that. I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Jude. And there's a verse number 20. I'm very thankful for the Sunday school lesson we received this morning from the book of Jude. And there is a verse in the book of Jude that lines up almost perfectly with 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 6. And it helps us to understand and see this great responsibility that God has put up on each of us individually. The Bible says in Jude verse 20, he says, "But ye beloved," and I want you to mark these two words, building up. We're to stir up and we're to build up. We're to stir up and we're to build up. "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." Our faith is to be built up in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be stirred up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God places that responsibility on us individually. Now, I want you to see that God gives us the answer here. I have marked in my Bible the word praying in the Holy Ghost. How many of you remember? Now, I have a wood stove at my house. How many of you have a wood stove? How many of you burn wood? Does anybody burn wood but me? Brother Shane does. Maybe someone else. I don't know. But burning wood is a very unique thing. It's dirty. It's smoky. It's hard. It's a lot of work. And, you know, I have to, this morning I worked on my stove. This afternoon, Dad, I think you worked on my stove, didn't you? Did you put some wood on there today? I thought you did. Came home and there's a big old fresh log on there. Dad did that for me. And then this evening when I get home, I'm going to have to stir it again. When that fire is low, or if you had a fireplace, how many of you remember seeing bellows? Do you know what a bellow is? Brother Dave, you remember those, and you squeeze it, you push it together, kind of like an accordion, and the purpose of that is to push out air. Caleb and I learned a long time ago, Caleb and I have done a lot of brush fires. We've got quite a bit of experience, and there used to be a day when I would take a garden sprayer and put diesel in it and spray it on the fire. It wasn't anything like gasoline, way safer than gas, but still not very safe. And then there was times that I would take oil and try to get a fire started. And then there was times I would take rags and put rags in oil and try to get those started. There were times when I would take hay, like a bale of hay, and douse that bale of hay with oil and put it in the middle. But then I finally found a way that is just impeccable. It is unstoppable. If you want a fire going, let me tell you how to do it. How many of you have a leaf blower? Get yourself a good old-fashioned leaf blower. You get the fire started, turn that leaf blower on, and let it blow right there on that flame. I'm going to tell you something. It will get so hot that it will melt water. It will boil water. It doesn't matter how wet the wood is, it's going. If you get the air blowing just right on a hot fire, I'm telling you right now, it'll burn dirt. It'll burn water. It'll burn green wood, it'll burn dry wood, it'll burn all kinds of things you can't even imagine when that air is blowing on that brush pile. Get you a leaf blower. Now I want you to see that the bellows that God gives us, the air that God gives us, the force that God gives us to get our fire burning is found in Jude. Verse number 20, would you look at it again? "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Prayer's the answer. There's many things that you can feed a fire with. There's good wood and there's not so good wood. There's some wood you don't want to stick in a stove. But there's some wood that just burns so hot you've got to be careful with it. But to be honest about it, there are many, many different things you can fuel a fire with. The same is true in the Christian life. The most powerful thing that you'll ever fuel your fire with is praying in the Holy Ghost. Dear friend, we've got away from it. Why is it that it's the hardest thing that we have to do in this life? And I plan to talk about it more. And I want you to understand that prayer is the hardest thing that you'll ever do in the Christian life. I want you to prove me wrong. It's easier to do absolutely anything in the Christian life other than praying. Praying's the most difficult. It's the most challenging. In many ways, it is the least rewarding. I remember a long time ago, Pastor began to tell us about how many people like to mow grass because within just an hour or so, you can look back at the lines and the marks and you can look at the grass being cut down and look back and see progress. Prayer's not always that way. You can pray for an hour and look back and wonder, what in the world did I just do? Did I just waste my time? But I'm telling you tonight that if you keep pouring the wind, keep pouring the air to the fire, which is our prayer, the fire will be stirred. God will stir the fire. Oh, it's so important. We've got to keep putting wood on it. We've talked about that. I want you to understand tonight, we're responsible for rekindling our fire. If the fire in your life has gone out, it's your fault. I don't mean to be mean or rude. I don't try to be that way, but don't blame it on someone else. Oftentimes, the very first thing we'll say was the preacher's fault. If you count on the preacher to keep your fire hot two or three times a week, boy, oh boy, you are in trouble. If your fire is ever going to be hot, you're going to have to tend to it every day. It requires rekindling. It requires fanning. It requires receiving fuel to keep it moving. I want to remind you that this being stirred up is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not something that he tells Timothy. He says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee. We're commanded to do that. See, fire doesn't die just on its own. Fire dies because we quit stirring it. Fire dies because we quit feeding it. And here I want you to understand that every church that is backslid on God, every individual that is backslid on God, there once was a fire that stopped being fed. There once was a fire that stopped being stirred. So tonight, I hope that you've jotted it down. God tells us that it's our responsibility to be stirred. Let's look at the next phrase. Turn back with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 6. He says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up. And then notice this phrase. The gift of God. Fire is a gift of God. Now, we looked at it. Now, if you didn't write these references down, I want you to do this. It is in Leviticus chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. And then also in Leviticus chapter 9, verses 23 through 24, we looked at those last Sunday. And we saw that fire comes from God. It is a gift from God. Fire is something that God gives us, and it's a very powerful gift. So what that means is that you can't take credit for it. Look at me. Hey, look how stirred up I am for the cause of Christ. Look how zealous I am for the cause of Christ. No, it doesn't work that way. See, it's God. If there's anyone that is stirred up at all, we have to realize that it's a gift of God. We have to realize if there's anyone that's ever been stirred in the slightest way, God's done the work. Behind the scenes, in the dark hours of the night, God has done a holy work in the life and in the heart of someone. It is the gift of God. It is God that stirs us up. So there's a great principle there. You can't claim it. There's no bragging rights for your fire. There's no bragging rights for your blaze, no matter how bright it might be. You can't say, look at how bright I'm shining. Look how heated I am for the cause of Christ. We cannot do that. See, I want you to understand that fire has an amazing purpose. God has a plan for our fire. It's impossible to finish. It's impossible to do the work of the ministry without a flame. You can't try to do the work of God when you're burnt out. You can't try to accomplish things for God when there's no flame burning. Oh, what a dead-end street. Have you ever beat your head up against the wall there? Have you ever wondered, oh, I want to do what God wants me to do. Oh, I want to accomplish His plan. I want to accomplish His purpose in my life with no flame. You cannot do it. It cannot be accomplished. But here's the thing. When the fire gets hot, anything can be done for God. I want you to notice with me what the Bible says in 1 Peter. Would you turn there with me? 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 10. Fire has a purpose. It is God's plan for the ministry. It is God's plan for edification. It is God's plan for any type of encouragement. We need to be on fire for the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, would you notice what the Bible says? Peter says, as every man hath received the gift, and we're talking about the gift of fire. Look at, he says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. As God has given you fire, spread the fire. As good stewards, would you mark that word stewards of the manifold grace of God? What a beautiful word picture that we find in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. Here's what we are. Dear friend, would you write this down somewhere? Would you write it in your heart? As a Bible-believing Christian, we are stewards of the flame. We are stewards of the fire of God. Do you know, in this life, I've been a failure way more than I've been a success. In this life, I have dropped the ball way more times than I've ever been successful. I want you to understand that I've walked through the days of my life and I have repeated failure more than any other thing that I could ever possibly mention. And here's what I see in the Christian life. God has given us a gift, and that gift requires stewardship. I want you to understand that the flame of your soul, the flame of your spirit, is the responsibility that God has given to you as a gift. We are stewards of that. If I were to take you home, and we could go into my basement, I have a gun safe there. And if I were to open the door on my gun safe, I have several guns, and I'm very thankful for that. Every red-blooded male American ought to have guns in their home, along with a Bible. Man, if we can't say that here, we're in trouble. But one of those guns is very precious to me. One of those guns is very special to me. As an 8-year-old boy, my Grandpa Hart, I'll never forget it. I can remember what the gun case looks like. I haven't seen it in years. I don't even know if my dad may still have it. It's brown and all beat up, I'm sure, by now. It's got a flowery case on it. My grandpa had that behind his back, and he walked in and he gave me a 12-gauge pump. 8 years old. My dad recognized it was a little big for me, and Dad asked if he could trade, and he took and he traded that shotgun and got me an over and under. How many of you know what an over and under is? This gun is a special gun. On the top, it has a 22, and on the bottom, it has a 20 gauge. And there's a little switch on the hammer. You can flip it back and forth. If you pull it back, it'll shoot the 22 barrel. If you flip it forward, it'll shoot the 20 gauge barrel. Now, I'm telling you that that gun may not be worth a whole lot as far as money goes, and it does have value to it. But way beyond monetary value, that gun means something to me. If you were to try to take that gun from me, I'd fight you over it. You might get shot. If someone were to break into my house, they put their life and limb at danger because I don't want anything to happen to that gun. That's my gun. It came from my grandfather with the help of my dad. That gun means something to me. That gun is special to me. I want you to understand I would do everything in my power to protect it and keep it safe so I can pass it down to my children. Hopefully one day one of my grandbabies will be able to own it. Here's the bottom line. The flame that God has given to us is a gift. And that gift is to be cherished and protected. The fire, watch this, please write it down. The fire cannot be abandoned. And we live in a day and time where Christians have abandoned the flame in their life. We live in a generation where God's people have abandoned their flame. They've let it go out. They've let the flame go out. And I'm telling you tonight that it is a gift from God Himself. It's a spiritual fire, a spiritual gift that has been given to us that is to be maintained. And dear friend, you do yourself a disservice by allowing your flame to grow dim. You do yourself a disservice as a child of God not to feed the flame of God that's deep inside of you. It's not only our responsibility, it is a gift of God that we're to maintain and that we're to preserve. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 says this. It says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because," watch this, "the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." God has given us a love. God has given us blessing upon blessing. God has blessed us so abundantly, and we're to stir that fire that God has placed within us. Let me give you the fourth one. I've given you tonight that God tells us that it's our responsibility to be stirred up. Number three, I said, God tells us the fire was received from Him. It's a gift of God. Would you look again at the verse? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. He says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee." Would you mark that phrase? "Which is in thee." Here's the truth I want you to get. It's there, it just needs to be revived. You say, "Brother Fred, I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven." Then you've got a fire inside of you, it just needs to be revived. You say, "Brother Fred, you don't know how discouraged I am. You don't know how defeated I am." Let me tell you something. God has not left you. The flame is still there. You say, Brother Fred, I'm not sure if it's burning any at all. All I see is ashes. I can remember what God has done in the past, but I can't even sense, I can't even feel an ember. Dear friend, I want you to understand that just because you're discouraged does not mean that the flame has went out. Just because you're depressed does not mean that the flame has went out. Just because you're defeated doesn't mean the flame has went out. Just because you are dry doesn't mean the flame has went out. Just because you are burdened doesn't mean that the flame has went out. Just because your heart is heavy doesn't mean that the flame has went out. Just because you are weary doesn't mean the flame has went out. Just because you have failed doesn't mean that your flame has went out. Just because you're laying on your face before God doesn't mean the flame has went out. Here's what it means. It is inside of you and it needs to be rekindled. It needs to be stirred. It needs to be brought back to life. And dear friend, that's possible for every Bible believer, every person who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ in this room. God can stir you up no matter how far you've drifted from Him. Here's the problem. It's found for us in the book of Revelation. Would you turn to chapter 2? This is a very familiar verse. Revelation chapter 2. Let me share with you what happens to God's children. Revelation chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse 4. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. I want to show you what happens. Revelation 2 verse 4 says, Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast, what's this word here? Left thy first love. Remember from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Here's the problem. We leave the flame. And if you leave a flame, it doesn't continue to be a flame. And dear friend, our problem as Christians is this. It's not that we're lost and on our way to hell. We're saved, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. He that has begun a good work in us will complete it. He will finish it. But boy, oh boy, the flame sure is out. Look what Paul tells Timothy. He says, Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Dear friend, I want you to understand, deep down inside of you is potential for God. Deep down inside of every believer is a flaming fire for God. It just needs to be stirred. It just needs to be fed. Oh, what God could do with you, what God could do with this church, if we could just reignite the flame. Here's my last point. Would you look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 1 again? I want you to look at the last phrase. He says, Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. And then look at this. Look what he says. By the putting on of my hands. By the putting on of my hands. There was a day in Timothy's life where he said, There's no more reserve. I'm giving it all to God. There was a day that took place in Timothy's life where he says, I'm taking my hands off of my life and I'm giving it to God. There was a day in Timothy's life where he committed who he was and what he would do with his life and with this flame to God. And these men put their hands on Timothy and ordained him to the work of the ministry. Dear friend, I hope that's happened with you. Here's my last point. God tells us there is no fire where there is reservation. God tells us there is no fire where there is reservation. When you have a fire, it's because there's no reserve. A fire will just keep eating. Let it eat. Let it feed. Keep feeding it. And by the way, here's what I found out. You can't feed it too much. One of my grandparents growing up had this misunderstanding. He would tell my mom, You better have him to stop memorizing all those Bible verses. He's not going to have room in his mind for other things that he needs. Well, I never had room in my mind for much of anything anyway. But I promise you that no amount of scriptures was going to hurt what I did have. It's impossible to put too much wood on this fire. It's impossible to stir this fire too much. God doesn't want us to live the Christian life with reserve. He wants us to keep fueling the fire. See, these men, they put their hand on Timothy. Now, I have very specifically and intentionally not went back and forth in the scripture for sake of time. I want you to turn with me to the book of Leviticus now, and I want you to look at one of these offerings. I mentioned to you that in the book of Leviticus, the first five chapters is a different offering. And if you could define these offerings, it would help you to understand what God's plan was and what God's purpose was. I keep tripping on my shoestring. I'm going to end up falling and breaking my neck up here in the pulpit. But in this particular chapter, God is referring back to the peace offering. This is a very unique offering. And I want to challenge you, and I want to encourage you to read about this peace offering. God gets very specific and very detailed about the peace offering in chapter 7. There's one word that I want you to write down that is associated with the peace offering. Would you write this word down? Write the word fellowship down. Would you do that? The word fellowship. Because each of these offerings that were made in the first five chapters represented something for us in the Christian life. And the peace offering was most closely associated with our fellowship with Jesus Christ. God had strict rules, strict regulations when it comes to our fellowship. First is there's no leftovers. And by the way, God doesn't accept our leftovers. There's no leftovers for God. It doesn't work that way, but that's what we do. We don't give God our best. We give God our second best many, many times. I speak for myself. But with God, He doesn't want us to hold back. See, here's what God does. God rejects when we have reservations. The fire in your life, the fire in your heart will never be as bright as what God wants it to be if you keep putting the brakes on it. You know, there's something important about a stove. Every stove has a draft and a flue. Every stove needs to have some way to slow the fire down. Because here's what I found out. If you leave it open, you better watch out. You're burning your house down. You better not forget it. You better not leave it. There was a time that I had a wood stove for my tent. And this wood stove, I took the top flue out of it, the damper out of the top, and it had no way to slow it down. It's a good thing my Uncle Wayne was there, because I had started a fire, and the damper was smoking us out. And I took it out, and it was no longer part of that tent, and literally about 2 or 3 feet beside of my wood stove, there was a stack of wood, and I found out that when it gets to about 400 degrees, it will automatically ignite. It doesn't have to have a spark. It doesn't have to have anything skip over to it. It just has to hit the right temperature. Well, when firewood hits just under 400 degrees, guess what? It goes up. And inside my tent, I just about burned it to the ground. If it wouldn't have been for my Uncle Wayne going inside of there and pulling that firewood out and getting it away from that stove and opening the doors and letting that thing cool off, it would have burned everything I had in the woods down that day. The Christian life is not that way. God wants us to burn as hot as we possibly can be, as we possibly can for Him. But here's what we think. Somewhere in our mind, somewhere in our process, we think that, no, this needs to be regulated. Somehow or some way, some shape or form, we've convinced ourselves that we'll be a fanatic if we let the flame glow. Somehow or another, we just have to have some type of reserve, maybe so that we could add to it in the future. That's not God's plan. God wants us to burn as bright and as hot as we possibly can for His honor and for His glory. God rejects reservation. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to be surrendered. He wants us to be consecrated. He wants us to be fully obedient to His plan, to His will. Now, I want you to look with me in Leviticus chapter 7, and we're going to look at this peace offering. Remember, it represents our fellowship with the Lord. And the flesh of the sacrifice of His peace offering, I hope that you'll mark it there, for thanksgiving shall be eaten when? When do you eat it? The same day. The same day. I like leftovers, don't you? Sometimes, especially when it comes to spaghetti and other things, it's better the next day. You know what I'm talking about. Is there anybody else that eats leftovers other than me? How many of you think that some leftovers are better the second time than they are the first time? Soups, chili, they all just get better with time. Not with the Lord. He says, watch this. He says, the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. When it comes to fellowship, there's no reserve. You eat it all or you burn it all, one or the other. And then look what God gives a brief exception here in verse 16. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth his sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. So in the case of a vow or a free will offering, it can last until tomorrow. But now I want you to look at what happens on the third day. Verse 17. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. And then he gets real specific in verse 18. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offered it. It shall be an abomination. Would you mark that? It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity. Boy, that's strong language. God says that our reserves are an abomination to him. God says, I don't want them. I reject them. He will not receive them. He will not take them. No more than 2 days. No reserves. That was God's plan. Here's what Paul teaches us about our lives. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God expects for us to be fully surrendered. May I give you the last point one more time? God tells us there's fire where there's no reservation. There is fire where there is no reservation. Let me ask you, what's keeping the flames back in your life? What's keeping the fire for burning bright in your life? You're saying, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to do your will, but wait a minute. There's this distraction. There's this sin that easily besets us. Let me ask you something tonight. What is it that's keeping your fire from being as bright as it can be and as bright as it should be for the Lord? I've got a challenge. It's from God's word. Paul tells Timothy to stir up the gift of God that was in him. The method, the means, was by remembrance. I want you to remember tonight, we have a great responsibility of personally keeping our fire stirred. Would you stand with me? I'm going to ask every member of our church to come and pray tonight. Two things. Number one, I want you to pray for our prayer meeting Tuesday night. Yeah, pray for a prayer meeting. And then I want you to pray about the couple's banquet on Friday. We're going to have some guests that are not married, and I don't know that they're all saved. We've got a guest preacher. I want you to help pray about that. And I'm going to ask that you say, Brother Fred, my flame, my fire, the gift of God that is in me is not burning as bright as it should be. Ask yourself, where's the reserve? What are you holding back? Are you being a good steward of the flame of God? Father in heaven, I pray that you bless now in this invitation. Oh Lord, as the invitation is open, as the piano begins to play, God, I pray that you would work and stir us individually, and also stir us as a church. God, I pray that you would help us to tend to these holy things tonight. Holy matters of getting our fire revived and flamed back high for thee. God, I pray you'd help us to take it seriously. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come tonight? If God has spoken to your heart, please don't wait. Please come and pray. Let's do business with the Lord. God bless you. I stand here and pray. Amen. Thank you, church. What an encouragement. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. Pray for me. Pray that God would keep my fire hot. Oh, dear friend, when you're praying, please lift up my name. Pray for me. Pray for one another. Pray that God had set our church on fire. Pray that God had sent revival. Pray that God would help us to see the responsibility and accept it of keeping our fire hot for Him. Amen. Boy, don't take for granted the sweet Holy Spirit. Oh, I long for it. I've been praying for it. God met with us tonight, didn't He? Do you sense God's presence this evening? Praise the Lord. More. Oh, more. Pray for more. Pray that God would help us. Pray that God would help me. Pray that God would stir us up. What a blessing. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for being faithful. Brother Jim, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?